This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith, and I am interviewing today Father Nicholas Hartman, and he is from Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. Welcome, Father Nicholas.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This is the Sons of Melchizedek show, and it's a show about priestly vocations, and Father Nicholas has a long history here in Carmel. He went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel grade school. He went to Guerin Catholic High School. He went to IU, but now he is a priest, and that's just been a couple weeks ago, right, Father?
Yeah, I was ordained just about 2.5 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. So it's all been preparing for it, but it's brand new at the moment.
Now, for our listeners, that's not where the diocesan priests in the Lafayette Diocese are ordained, and that was just last weekend, actually. Why were you ordained in Washington?
So I am a priest in the Dominican order. So although I am from this diocese and from this parish, I'm not a priest of this diocese. I'm here at the moment because I'm visiting family and friends. But again, I'm a Dominican priest, so I'm in the order of preachers. And I'm part of that order, and they will assign me. So I've been in the last 6 years, I've been studying in Washington, D.C., where my province of Dominicans has their studium. And now that I'm ordained a priest and I've finished my studies for the moment, I'm being assigned to Charlottesville, Virginia, where we have a parish and we do the campus ministry for UVA.
So you'll be a parochial vicar at that parish for the foreseeable future. I am looking for our audience, again, who don't have a visual on this. I'm looking at you, and your garb today is not a black garb with a white collar. You have a different type of garb on. Could you explain a little bit about that for us?
Right. So like most consecrated religious, I'm wearing a religious habit. So you might be familiar with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, who work in this Our Lady of Mount Carmel school and at Guerin Catholic High School. My habit is similar to theirs, but instead of a veil, I don't wear a veil, happily. But I have a white hood, and then there's also a black, so I'm not wearing this right now, but there's also a black kappa that goes over it, which we wear on, like during the Easter Triduum, for instance, and on different occasions. There's not really a rhyme or reason always to wearing it, but...
Is there significance to the white? What is the reason for that?
There are different sort of stories as to how that comes about. I mean, white can symbol purity. It can also symbol the joy of the gospel, whereas like the black that we wear symbolizes death. But then if you contrast the black and white, there's kind of, our motto is veritas, truth, because we're, we're the order of preachers, so we have a special devotion to truth. So kind of the black and the white, you can kind of see where that goes.
So that brings up an interesting thing. St. Dominic he formed the order kind of late in life for him. I think he was about age 45 when he formed the order, and he was responsible for over 100,000 conversions. He was on fire, kind of a story about a dog holding a torch with fire on it. What's that story, Father?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at a lot of statues of Saint Dominic, you'll often see this dog with a torch in his mouth. And the story is that Jane of Aza, Dominic's mother, when she was pregnant with him, had a dream where she would give birth to a dog, and the dog had a torch in its mouth, and the dog ran around the world lighting the world on fire. And Saint Dominic did have this zeal, so he. Which was prefigured in this dream of his mother. So he, he started off as a what we call like a canon regular and in Spain, and then he and his bishop, Diego, were kind of heading off to another place in Europe to help arrange a marriage. And when they stopped in southern France, in Toulouse, Dominic encountered the Cathars, or the Albigensian heretics. And both Diego and Dominic were actually very moved and had a lot of compassion on these heretics, and wanted to see them restored to the faith, wanted them, you know, to be able to know Christ again, who is himself truth. And so they spent a lot of time preaching for the salvation of these heretics. Dominic famously stayed up all night arguing with this Albigensian innkeeper, and by the morning had won his conversion back to the faith. It was out of compassion for those who were really, you know, suffering but didn't really know it from a heresy, because they didn't, you know, they were in error, they didn't know the truth. Dominic forms an order of religious priests who would, you know, consecrate themselves through the vows of, you know, we make one vow, but like you live out the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, so that then we could, you know, from a kind of a life of study and of contemplation, and also simplicity, you know, poverty and chastity, we could then, you know, be filled up with the grace of living that life, but then turn around and preach for the salvation of souls. And this was unique because generally most priests at the time didn't have faculties to preach. So to have an order of priests who would then preach and be cooperators with the order of bishops was kind of a big deal. But no, so he formed an order of preachers with this mission, really, to preach for the salvation of souls. And even though the Albigensian heresy has died out, at least in a formal way, there's always need to preach for the salvation of souls, both for, you know, those who are in heresy, but also just for those who need to have the word of God preached to them. So those who are outside the faith, but also for those of us who are, you know, who are practicing the faith, but, you know, we all rely on, including Dominicans, actually, we rely on the preaching of other of priesthood.
So you mentioned heresy, Father, and the Albigensian heresy has come and gone. Manichaeism, same thing, but we have heresies going on in this world right now, some fairly serious ones. And were some of those divergent off the path things that drew you to want to become a priest in the order of preachers?
I mean, like seeing, you know, encountering Protestantism and relatives at an early age, but then also, you know, being at IU and seeing, you know, not just heresies, but also just straight up apostasy and, you know, and atheism, agnosticism, and in general apathy toward not just truth in general, but like the truth about really fundamental realities, you know. So, you know, I don't need to know a lot about 10th century Arabic carpet weaving, even though that is in a manner a kind of historical truth, but it's not a very fundamental truth. It's not a fundamental reality that girds the world around us. But knowing the truth about God is, and especially when God has called each of us to have a relationship with him in supernatural friendship, which supernatural friendship we call charity, having faith, knowing God through faith by believing his revelation, by believing his acts of, you know, showing himself to us, is absolutely essential, really, to not just being human, but then to living that kind of elevated human or elevated supernatural life that God is offering us. And that can give you, that does give you a lot of joy to live that, and to see folks in the world around you who are apathetic or oblivious to it, or who are, you know, enmeshed in error, both on theological and in moral matters, is really saddening. And you can kind of see, you know, St. Dominic's compassion.
I suppose being at IU might have cured you of ever wanting to be apathetic, because there is such a mass of people down there that believe in all kinds of different things. But I do know that one of the parishes down at Bloomington is staffed by Dominicans. Is that correct?
That's right. And actually, a Dominican who was a student brother when I went through is now the pastor of St. Paul's down in Bloomington, Father Patrick Hyde, who's a wonderful priest, a wonderful man. And yeah, it was incredibly helpful for my own vocation.
So what drew you to that? Was it down at your time at IU, or did you already know you were thinking about a vocation and didn't know whether you're going to be a religious as a diocesan priest or as a different order? At what point did that happen in your life?
So when I was about 7 or 8, and I was, well, actually it started before that. So when I was 6, I found out my birthday was on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and felt this, this very interesting connection, or, this connection to Mary. And I felt like she, loved me in a special way. But then kind of growing up, I felt like I owed her something, not in a kind of guilty way, but just, when you have the impulse that you want to be able to do something for someone. And, I felt close to her. And eventually this, a couple of years later, when I was 7 or 8, I thought that, really wanted to become a priest. And that never really left. And in my freshman year at Garen, we went on a pilgrimage to this Franciscan shrine, actually right outside of Chicago, and gotten up early in the morning to pray. And I saw one of the friars actually going around lighting candles. And something about that it drew me to the religious life, not just the priesthood. But I also knew that that the Franciscan order or any of the Franciscan orders was not really for me. I'm not cut out really to be a Franciscan. And I had a similar experience down at St. Meinrad when we had done a pilgrimage with the Knights of the Holy Temple. It was a similar thing where I was very much drawn to the regular observance of religious life, but kind of knew in my heart that this is not the order for me. So near the end, senior year of high school, though, I, through the writings of Aquinas, started thinking about the Dominicans and had somehow, it's a long story, got in contact with a friar who at the time was living and teaching in Washington, D.C. Started being drawn to the Dominicans and particularly their life of study and contemplation. That study was a way to come to know and love God, which would then feed into your prayer. But then kind of drawn to preach, drawn to preach and to teach the faith to others, to help them come to know and love Jesus Christ, and then, to really be drawn into the Trinitarian life to which we're all called and in which we can all live a kind of, live supernatural happiness.
Well, thank you, Father Nicholas. This is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek show. We're interviewing Father Nicholas Hartman today. He is a Dominican and a new priest just 2 weeks ago on May 20th, 2023. And when we come back, we'll interview him a little bit more and ask him a little bit about his upbringing and his parents and his family and how that all worked out. We'll be right back.
When a business is looking to expand, they say it's all about location, location, location. But what about when the church needs to expand? To stretch out and reach those fallen away, estranged from the faith, are those who simply have never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then it's all about vocation, vocation, vocation. We need more people dedicated to the mission of serving the church, more priests, more deacons, more men and women of vowed service, and more lay workers willing to go into the fields. The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Is God calling you to service? Pray on it, and while you're there, pray for more vocations. A simple request from your friends at Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. This is Gordon Smith again. I'm interviewing Father Nicholas Hartman. He is a Dominican priest, brand new priest, on May 20th of 2023. I'm interviewing him today at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. He's here just for a short time more before he returns to the Virginia area, but his home base where he studies was and has been Washington, D.C. Can you tell me a little bit about your studies as a priest or as a seminarian in Washington?
Sure. So all religious, actually, all consecrated religious start out actually in a novitiate. You start off as a novice. So for us, our novitiate is 1 year, and it takes place in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then after that year, you profess what we call simple vows. In effect, they're temporary. So, you know, I professed vows for 3 years, and then when I was in D.C., I renewed them twice for a year. So then you're in simple vows, and you move to Washington, D.C., and the novitiate, actually, like, you kind of learn how to be a religious. You learn how to live as a Dominican, which you really need that, because then when you go to D.C., you're extremely busy because you have, you know, everything that you're doing as a Dominican, as a religious. But you also have a full load of classes, and you have some sort of ministry, which kind of those ministries start off simple and they get a little bit harder. So like teaching RCIA or something like that. But then we prize the, you know, because we're an order of preachers and because study is a part of our life, we very much, and St. Thomas Aquinas is our brother in the order, we very much prize philosophical and theological education. And so our studies are, they're hard. And it's a very important part of our life. And so you'll have 1 or 2 years, depending on if you've done philosophy before, in philosophy, and then you'll start your theological education, which is similar to any other priest or any other seminarian. But you're also a student brother. So you're, you know, once you've made vows, you are a full-fledged Dominican. You're vowed, you're a member of the order. And so you're living out, you're trying to be, you're being formed to live as a Dominican religious, but also you're going through priestly formation as well, which has a pastoral component, and you know, and so your studies are a certain way. But then our studies are very integrated, because they, you know, it's, we take Aquinas as a, St. Thomas Aquinas as a, as kind of our principal teacher and guide. Not that we don't study other things, but that provides, Aquinas' thought, his philosophical and theological thought, provides kind of a comprehensive, like, well-integrated theological formation. So, you know, what you study in metaphysics when you're doing philosophy is going to help your Trinitarian theology, as well as your study of Christology, which is, you know, the theology of Jesus Christ, both God and man, which is going to, you know, help your study of the sacraments. Like, all of it is very integrated and it's very systematic. But it's integrated into your spirituality too. So, like, you take that, you know, it's hard to be, I think anyway, that it's hard to study the Trinity or study the mysteries of Christ and have that not affect your prayer and your attempt to unite yourself to Him.
Sure. So chapel. At this point, your discernment process was already finished. You had discerned, and you were in, even though you were on temporary vows, you were pretty much in the order, and you were going to continue on to become the priest, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, people do leave. So you're in temporary vows. So that means that there's a certain point where, if you do not renew your vows, or if you do not profess solemn vows, which are, you know, the vows that you make until death, which ends the vow formula, you know, at some point your vows would expire. And no, there are occasionally there's someone who, you know, every year there are 2 or 3 student brothers who discern out and to leave. And there's nothing wrong with that, because their vows eventually will expire and they'll go back to being a lay Catholic, and they'll more than likely find a new vocation. Although there are 1 or 2 who end up coming back and profess simple vows again and then become priests. But no, it's not completely done by the time you enter. But you are, I mean, your spirituality is that of a Dominican friar, even while you're in formation.
Okay, Father Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Now, I would promise our audience that we would get back to your upbringing, your family, your folks are still living. And you have also 5 younger siblings, the youngest of whom is 17 years old, senior in high school. How has your vocation, how has your discernment affected your family, and how did they support you as you went through the discernment process?
So I had a family that practiced the faith. We went to Mass every Sunday. You know, the faith was, the practice of religion was to be the kind of the highest kind of part. Like, there, you know, we were taught, there's values, you know, you have, you know, your duties to God, and as well as to, you know, the nation, to your family. And, but also, you know, we were taught to have a balanced, virtuous life. So particularly with my dad, he tried to teach us virtues. He tried to teach us how to have a balanced life. So my dad's a physician. You had priorities in life, but also, you know, things like basic things like exercise are really important. And, you know, he grew up knowing that, okay, like if you live in a healthy way, that's going to help things like your studies. That's going to help your relationships with other people. It's going to help how you live the faith. And my mom particularly, at a young age, you know, taught me how to pray. And when I expressed interest in the Liturgy of the Hours, she, you know, bought me a breviary and like directed me to parishioners who knew it really well, particularly, and so they, you know, she and then they helped me learn how to pray that prayer, which is a prayer that all the priests pray multiple times a day. So yeah, they very much kind of helped me kind of grow in the faith. And then when I was, you know, thinking about the priesthood from an early age, they encouraged that and were supportive. Also, when I got into college and was starting to, you know, think about this very seriously and, you know, going to them for advice and having kind of long conversations with them. And, and they were supportive, but they also weren't coercive, you know, so.
So they supported you, but they didn't push you.
No.
They were supportive. And I'm sure that they love all their children equally. And some of your sibs will have other vocations or maybe have a religious vocation, unknown at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So it's important that parents see a vocation in a son, but don't push him so hard that the son rejects it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we all have limit. I mean, there are things that we are competent at based on either like the authority that we have or kind of our position or our role in someone's life, and we should fulfill our role in somebody's life, whether that's being a parent or a sibling or a friend, or you know. The pastor of a parish or, you know, whatever it is. And we should live out that role as much as we can, but also not exceed the limits of that. So, you know, it's wrong for a parent to, coerce or pressure their child to do something. And if a kid's going to feel that, and that's not going to be great. But then at the same time, it's not like your parents should play no role whatsoever. The living out, like fulfilling your role is really in somebody's life is really the best way to love that person, and if you know God will work through that love.
So, Father Nicholas, your heartfelt advice to parents that might see a vocation in their son, what would you tell them right now?
It depends on what age their child is. Is the son expressing is the son or daughter expressing interest in religious life or the priesthood? If they're expressing interest, I mean, the biggest thing is to encourage them to pray and to be close to the Lord, which is probably true of any vocation, but especially a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, because you're going to live out that relationship more intensely, and especially if you're a priest, others are going to rely on you actually having a close relationship with Jesus Christ.
You have any hobbies, Father?
I like to run, reading and writing particularly. I love writing and kind of finding the right word for things. And, you know, I play chess and we play a lot of, we grew up playing soccer. And then, I mean, one nice thing in the studentate where the Dominicans study, you know, we played a lot of soccer like multiple times a week, those kinds of things.
So you're finding time to get out and do that now? You've been pretty busy becoming a priest.
Yeah, I mean, the last year particularly was very busy because I was finishing up a degree and writing a thesis. Although having things like running, was really useful because I was finding I was getting extremely stressed, and then just having that to go and, de-stress by running and getting, working out your heart and your lungs can help you come back and actually have a clear head and not be, your chest isn't quite as tight. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned who I am going to perceive as your favorite saint a couple times during this interview. And that's St. Thomas Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
What year was he active before he became a doctor of the church?
Right. So he was born in around like 1224, 1225. We're not quite sure. In the 40s and 50s, he had entered this like brand new Dominican order that had just been founded by St. Dominic in 1216. And is a genius, was, you know, became St. Albert the Great student in the University of Paris and then at Cologne. And then he had, you know, I mean, he had really a career kind of all over, I mean, career. I mean, he was teaching all over Europe, but particularly in Paris, Cologne, Naples, but also this smaller Dominican studium in Orvieto, which is where, of course, then he started writing his greatest theological work for beginners. But you can perceive in his life, really, in his, especially like his theological writings, kind of this inner sanctity, this search to know Jesus Christ, this search to know God in loving friendship. And that particularly is very inspiring, and I think especially for me, but also for a lot of Dominicans.
Did Thomas Aquinas have a point in time in his life where he decided that all his writings were nothing but straw?
Yeah, so on actually the Feast of St. Nicholas in the Chapel of St. Nicholas, and I'm going to keep highlighting that, in Naples, he, in around 1273, right before he died, he had this moment, you know, he had this revelation basically, you know, and the Christ on the cross spoke to him and said, you know, Thomas, you have written well of me, what do you desire? And he's, you know, non nisi te domine was Aquinas' response, you know, nothing but you, O Lord. And right, and he thought that, you know, all his work really paled in comparison to, you know, the infinite God whom he had just had a revelation of and whom he was about to meet in eternal life. And that's really true of everything, like, you know, somebody who's working hard in theological labor and is as brilliant as he is, who's searching to know Christ through, you know, the life of the mind, you know, eventually our works really pale in comparison to the infinite God, who is infinite, whom our minds cannot really, you know, completely encompass.
Of course.
And whom we know really only through faith in this life.
Well, today I've been interviewing Father Nicholas Hartman, a Dominican, a new priest 2 weeks ago, ordained in Washington at the Shrine of the National Conception. Oh, help me out with this, Father.
It's kind of long. I mean, it's the full name is the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And we've been interviewing him at vocational program called Sons of Melchizedek. We want to thank you for your interview and your time, and thank you so much for your vocation to become a Catholic priest and preacher. Thank you, Father.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.